In the air, everywhere. Bright and beautiful music. KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
CBS News. The FBI is confirming a report that it kept a secret list of Americans targeted for detention in case of a national emergency. I'm Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. FBI spokesman Tom Call says it's true that for 20 years, the FBI kept a list of up to 15,000 names of Americans who advocated the overthrow of the United States government. But Call denies a New York Times report that a so-called reserve list still exists.
Basically, there is no particular index or any listing at this time that would authorize any agency of the government, including the FBI, as far as I know, the right to detain anyone in the event of a national emergency.
Call says the list was legally gathered under the Subversive Activities Control Act, but the list was destroyed after the detention provisions of the act were repealed by Congress in 1971. Some new information Saturday that may be connected with the disappearance of former Teamsters Union president James Hoffa. The Associated Press says that last Wednesday, the day that Hoffa disappeared in Lake Orion, Michigan, he was planning to meet a reputed mafia figure and former union local official Anthony Provenzano. The AP quotes a source close to Hoffa as saying that Provenzano was holding a grudge against Hoffa about some local union business in Union City, New Jersey. Police still say they do not know if Hoffa's disappearance is a kidnapping or a murder. More news in a minute.
People, people who need people.
Some people feel that we're becoming a nation of mannequins. Nothing but heartless clothes racks, no longer caring about or for each other's needs. They say we become blind to the suffering of the sick and the old, deaf to the pleas of the disadvantaged. If it's true, pity us, because it's not those of us who need help who are the handicapped. It's those of us who won't give it. I'm Nancy Wilson, asking you to have a heart and write Volunteer, Washington, D.C., 20013. It'll make you a better human being.
People who need people.
A public service of the Advertising Council and this station.
Japanese Prime Minister Takeo Miki is calling for increased trade with the United States over and above the $25 billion business the two countries now do every year. Miki spoke at a news conference in Seattle on his way to Washington. There he will meet with President Ford this Tuesday and Wednesday. Mr. Ford has a busy day ahead of him in Romania, the next to the last stop on his five-nation European tour. The president and Romania's leader Ceausescu are scheduled to take a train ride from Bucharest to Sinaia, where Mr. Ford will attend a Greek Orthodox church service. Later, the two men will hold a second meeting and then return to the capital in time for the president to fly to Yugoslavia in the afternoon. Saturday night at a state dinner, Mr. Ford praised those Romania's policies which are independent from the Soviet Union, and Ceausescu said in his toast he was pleased with Romania's gaining most favored nation trade status from the United States. Talks on a new contract broke down on Saturday between officials of National Airlines and representatives of the flight attendants. Union spokesmen say that members will strike after 30 days if an agreement is not reached by then. A United States magistrate in Corpus Christi, Texas, says that Cuban officials will be advised that a Cuban shrimp boat has been seized. The boat allegedly violated the United States 12-mile fishing limit off the Texas coast and was towed into Corpus Christi on Saturday. More news coming up.
I am a Marine. In the 200th year of the Marine Corps, the Career Corps for women, we have careers, not just jobs. Careers in many fields.
Radio. Administration.
Law. We work side by side and on a parity with a few good men. Our work is challenging, meaningful.
Computers, weather, electronics, intelligence.
We get good pay, equal reward. Sharing 200 years of pride.
Musician, mechanic, air traffic control.
Careers, not jobs.
Careers, not jobs.
In the Marine. I am a Marine. I'm proud of myself, my career, our Corps. The Marine Corps. The Career Corps for Women.
The Marine Corps. The Career Corps.
The island of Taiwan was hit on Sunday by Typhoon Nina. Winds up to 138 miles an hour near its center. The storm was expected to sweep across the island and into the Formosa Strait. No reports yet of any casualties. There's more hot weather in store Sunday for residents of the northeastern section of the United States. Record temperatures there Saturday, 101 degrees in Boston and 100 on the island of Nantucket, a place that is normally cool in the summer from the sea breezes. This is Ann Crosman, CBS News.
Radio Mystery Theater presents Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. It is established scientific fact, as we all know, that no two sets of fingerprints are alike. It is equally true that the markings on a bullet that's been fired are as distinctive as fingerprints. One gun, and one gun only, will leave those precise markings. No other. And so it seemed that Rocky Stark was lying. He had to be. When in his prison cell, he told his brother, Frank,
I did not kill Johnny Mallory.
But you tell me that .38 automatic has never been out of your hand since the day you bought it.
It never has. That gun has been in my possession 24 hours a day. Kim will tell you that. Frank, stop shaking your head at me. It's the truth.
Well, if it is, Rocky, it's the gas chamber for you.
But I didn't kill Johnny Mallory.
Your gun did. The bullets that killed him came from your .38. So if the gun has never left your hands, who else could have killed him but you?
Our mystery drama, Bulletproof, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by George Lowther and stars Mason Adams and Patricia Elliott. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and by the Florida Orange Growers. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
The following fable is presented to make you want to buy a Buick.
As a kid, everything I had was somebody else's.
My, he certainly has his mother's eyes.
And his father's hair. Boy, what a hairy little person. Well, I finally got something to call my own. A beautiful Buick LeSabre. With my kind of room, my kind of ride, and my kind of style. Heck, I even let my dad borrow it now and then, because I love to hear people say, my, he certainly has his son's Buick.
Buick, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Look, if I am drinking too much, that's my problem. It doesn't hurt anyone but me.
And your wife.
Oh, cut it out.
And your kids. And the people you work with. And your friends.
If someone close to you has a drinking problem, it's your problem, too. Help him. Write Alcohol, Box 2345, Rockville, Maryland, 20852. A public service message by this station and the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism.
If you're a businessman, you know how fast advertising costs are rising. Adflation, it's called. Wouldn't you like to stretch your ad budget, increase reach without increasing cost? It can be done. It's been proven. The market was San Francisco, the time spring 74. The budget, $8,000. That money in television reached almost 1.5 million adults and delivered over 2 million impressions. Then the budget was split, 50% TV, 50% radio. Adult reach increased 28%, and commercial impressions more than doubled on the same budget. Across the country in New York, a similar study proved the same point. Radio in a mix with TV improves the buy. Radio is efficient. It's being welcomed into more and more media plans. Why not? After all, radio's a great mixer. Get radio selling for you. Call this station. We'll suggest ways radio can help you fight adflation. Furnished by Radio Advertising Bureau.
It almost goes without saying that what intrigues us about a mystery is finding the answer to it, especially the kind I bring you now. Another of those riddles that seemingly defy solution. Yet the answer, the solution, had to be found if an innocent man, or in any case a man who claimed to be innocent, was to be saved from execution in the gas chamber of a certain western state where the death penalty had been restored. That man was Rocky Stark, who one night, not too long ago, found himself facing... But that's our story.
Another cup of coffee before you go to work, hon?
Kim.
If you're saying no because you don't think we can afford it...
Well, can we?
Oh, come on, Rocky. You're in one of your down moods again. Now, things aren't all that bad with us.
Sure. Sure. Living, if you can call it that, in one room in a condemned tenement. Me with a crummy night watchman job that pays peanuts. No future, no sign even of future. And you can say things aren't all that bad.
We got each other. In fact, you in prison 2 years and all... Well, to me, it's everything, Rocky.
Oh, Kim, baby, don't get me wrong. Those 2 years behind bars, taking the rap for that creep partner of mine, Manny Revelle, I thought of you all day. I dreamed of you all night.
Oh, Rocky.
And all the time, I'm thinking when I get out, everything will come up roses again. Manny owes me, I'm thinking. Manny will pay off. It'll be like old times, you and me living in style, the way you ought to live, instead of a pigsty like this.
Oh, Rocky, huh?
Well, what happens? What happens? I go to see him at the Golden Calf. Manny, I'm out. And what does he say? I'm afraid you are, he says. Out. O-U-T. And then he really lays it on me. He's got a new partner. Two-bit coffee and crawler's punk Johnny Mallory.
Rocky, sweetheart, forget it. What's the sense of going over it again and again?
Because I can't forget it. I thought we were running a legit night spot. And all the time behind my back, Manny's got a loan shark operation going. He comes to me, kid. Kid, he says, I'm a three-time loser. You take the bath for me, and I'll make it up to you. Sure, I took the bath, all right, and I'm still drowning.
Oh, honey,
and you along with me, Kim, that is the hell of it. That's what drives me crazy, alone in that warehouse all night, thinking what you deserve to have and what you've got, thinking that if you hadn't been fool enough to marry me...
I married you because I love you. Things are going to work out. They're working out already. You've got a job, and you were afraid you never would.
An ex-con.
You've got it, and it's a step towards something better. Frank promised you it would be.
Don't get me wrong, Kim. I've got a lot of respect for my brother, Frank. He's gone far. City councilman and only 33. 2 years younger than me. But he can't work miracles.
Frank got you the job, didn't he? He got you the permit to carry a gun so you could take the job.
Yeah, and I guess you could say that came pretty close to a miracle. Me, an ex-con.
But...
Never mind the buts. Frank's promised to do everything he can for you.
Or for you.
Oh, what do you mean, for me?
He's in love with you, Kim. Always has been, you know that.
Oh, don't be silly. Frank stopped carrying a torch for me the day I married you.
Now I'll tell one.
You'd better get moving, or you'll be late.
Who could that be? Yeah?
You Rocky Stark?
Yeah.
Lieutenant Chambers, my sidekick, Detective Rollins.
What do you want?
Yeah, what do you want?
You're under arrest.
Under arrest? For what?
Suspicion of murder.
Murder? Who's murder?
A guy named Johnny Mallory.
Johnny Mallory.
Rocky?
Hello, Frank. Thanks for coming.
Your lawyer will be here in half an hour or so.
My lawyer? I haven't got a lawyer.
You have now. Gar McMillan.
Gar McMillan? Well, he's the best. What is he going to cost?
No, never mind that. You need the best, and that's all that counts right now. Why'd you do it, Rocky?
Are you crazy or something? I didn't kill Johnny Mallory.
And they say you did.
They'll have to prove that.
They can.
What?
The bullets that killed Mallory were fired from your gun.
Well, that's impossible. That's impossible. That .38 of mine has never left my hand since the day you got me the permit for it.
Now, look, Rocky. They picked you up last night when Manny Revell told
Manny?
Them that, has told them about the fight you had with Mallory in Manny's office and the threats you made. Ballistics checked the bullets that killed Mallory with the bullet fired from your gun. The markings are identical.
They can't be.
They are. Now tell me, did you threaten Mallory?
No, I never even saw Johnny Mallory.
When you went to see Manny...
That's all I saw, Manny.
Rocky, where were you yesterday afternoon between 3 and 6?
Why?
That's when Mallory was murdered. They found the body in his car, parked in a lonely spot out near Warehouse Point. Now, he'd been killed with 2 bullets through the head. Bullets they dug out of the backseat cushion and compared with one fired from your .38. Now, where were you between 3 and 6?
In Bayside Park.
What were you doing there?
Kim works in a restaurant near there. I was killing time, waiting for her to finish so as I could walk home with her.
You were waiting for 3 hours on a cold, rainy day in the park for 3 hours?
Sounds kind of out of space, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
Well, maybe I am spaced out, Frank. I can't get out of my mind what I've done to Kim. I've wrecked her life. She's the greatest, you know that. You know that. And I want to give her the sun, the moon, the stars. But what have I given her? A roach trap in a condemned tenement. I get to thinking like that alone in the place, and I have to get out. So I go to the park. Rain or shine, at least that's free in this crummy world.
They cost you more than you bargained for. Without an alibi, though, what alibi you could have... Your gun killed him.
My gun? Nobody has touched that gun except me.
Well, how can you be so sure of that?
How? I'll tell you how. You stuck your neck out. You stuck your neck way out to get me that permit.
And you had to have a gun to get the job.
And you got it for me. So was I going to take a chance on some gunsel stealing it? Not me. I owed you that at least. So when I tell you... That .38 never left my hand. It never did. In fact, Frank, I even slept with the damn thing.
Slept with it?
Strapped to my side. I wasn't taking any chances. So I don't care what they came up with in ballistics. They're wrong.
The comparison microscope doesn't lie.
Cops are people, and people make mistakes.
Not this time.
How do you know?
I asked to see for myself, and they showed me.
Well, then... I don't get it, Frank. Why the look? You think I did it, huh?
It doesn't matter what I think. It's what the facts prove. Now, you and Johnny Mallory were enemies for years. Now, that's for openers. Johnny stepped into your shoes when he became Manny Ravel's partner. Now, according to Ravel, you threatened Johnny, and Johnny was killed with your gun. No, it doesn't matter what I think. What matters is...
Yeah.
What a jury will think, Rocky.
Just a minute. What do you want?
Now, is that a way to greet an old friend, Kim?
Did you say friend, Manny?
Rocky's in a mess. I want to help if I can. Okay to come in?
Come in. Whatever you have to say, Manny, say it and get out.
I guess I already said it. I want to help any way I can. Rocky's going to need a lawyer.
He's got one. His brother took care of that.
Lawyers cost. He'll need money.
Not from you. Not after what you did to him.
Me? I did something to Rocky?
He took a rap for you, and you sold him out.
Took a rap? Now, what are you talking about? I see. That's the little fairy tale he told you, is that it?
No fairy tale. The truth.
And I sold him out. Now, how'd I do that?
Mallory took Johnny's place, didn't he?
Temporarily, sure.
Temporarily?
Who runs a night spot as big as the Golden Calf without help? When they put Rocky away, I needed help. I hired Johnny Mallory.
He was your partner.
Who said?
Rocky told me.
Oh, I see, I see. More fairy tales, eh? Kim, let me give it to you straight. Rocky never took any rap from me. They nailed him with the goods.
Then how come, when he went to see you after getting
out... He finds out Mallory's working with me and right away blows his wig. You know his hair trigger temper. He gets it into his head Mallory's my partner and starts sounding off. Never gives me a chance to straighten him out.
You're lying,
Mary. Oh, Kim, I'm telling you the truth. Hey, listen, you know how I feel about Rocky, and you at least know how I feel about you.
I ought to. You made enough passes while Rocky was in prison.
It's my fault you turned me on.
If you were really Rocky's friend, you'd have turned yourself off.
So I didn't. I'm sorry. But anyhow, I want to help if I can in any...
Come in. Oh, Frank, come in.
What are you doing here, Ravel?
I'm asking myself the same question, Stark. You know where I am, Kim, if you need me.
Huh. What was that all about?
Never mind. Did you see Rocky?
Yes.
How is he?
He's okay.
When can I see him?
Well, as soon as Gar McMillan arranges things. Maybe this afternoon.
Gar McMillan? The famous Gar McMillan.
Yes, Rocky needs the best legal talent that can be had. Now, he's in real trouble.
I know. The bullets match his gun. It's in the papers. But he didn't murder Johnny Mallory. Frank, he didn't.
No one else could have, Kim. Now, Rocky swears that gun never left him since the day he and I went together to buy it.
It never has.
Well, then...
A mistake's been made, that's all.
No, no mistake.
You believe he did it?
Have I any choice?
He's your brother.
That's one reason I haven't had any choice. I know Rocky. I know that temper of his. Oh, I'm sorry, Kim, but from where I sit, Rocky killed Johnny Mallory. No one else could have.
Someone else did.
The bullets...
Proved the shots were fired from Rocky's gun. But it wasn't Rocky who pulled the trigger.
It had to be. He swears the gun has never been out of his hands. Now, is that true?
Yes. But he's never even fired it. Except on a practice range. Never.
Kim, the police have a strong case against Rocky. In fact, it's open and shut. I don't think even Gar McMillan can save him.
Well, surely it is an open and shut case. There's no question at all about the bullets matching. Comparison microscopes don't lie. As for the gun having been used by someone else,
personally, I believe Rocky's story that it has never been out of his possession. So, what possible answer can there be to the, well, the impossible? I'll return shortly for Act Two.
Come on, America, refresh the natural way. Have a glass of summer juice any time of day.
Hi, Anita Bryant for Summer Juice, 100% pure orange juice from Florida. Pour some over ice any time of day, whenever you want something cool and delicious. No matter what the clock may say, you say orange juice from Florida.
Orange juice, America's summer juice.
From the Florida Orange Growers.
A prenatal care message from the March of Dimes. Hello, this is Bobby Bonds of the New York Yankees. We know how important the number 9 is in the game of baseball, but the number 9 also means something special to an expectant mother, because normally the mother's body serves as her baby's home for its first 9 months. Proper nutrition is especially important at this time, because what the mother eats is the only nutrition the unborn baby gets. Eat well for your baby's good health. The March of Dimes says, be good to your baby before it is born.
The war's over. We don't have to think about it anymore. We can pack away those bitter memories. But what about the people who served their country? Can we pack them away and forget them till they're needed again? And can we tell those that are disabled that they're no longer of any use to us? If you're someone with a job to give, can you ignore the fact that over 1 million veterans will need a job this year? Or the fact that their alternative is welfare? What a waste of your tax dollars and their lives. These are responsible men and women with experience, skills, maturity. Even the disabled can still do a job well. The way to get this country working is to get people working. So if you have a job to give, call the National Alliance of Businessmen. Help America work.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
What is fate? No, I don't know. I'm asking you. You have to wonder why an apparently nice guy like Rocky Stark, who is trying his best to repair broken dreams because he's deeply in love with his wife, Kim, and wants her to have everything the world can offer, you really have to wonder why life suddenly, and for no discernible reason, takes another hefty wallop at him. Visiting him in his cell, Kim puzzles over the same thing.
It's too much. It isn't fair. Just when things were beginning to break for you, this...
I wouldn't exactly say things were breaking for me, Kim. I had my first talk with McMillan this morning.
Guy McMillan? He was here?
Yeah. And the way he acted, the way he talked, I don't know, Kim, it doesn't look good.
But he's the best defense lawyer in the country.
A lawyer, not a magician. He tried to sound upbeat, but I could tell he wasn't exactly all choked up over my chances. Neither are you, Kim.
Why, I...
It was in your eyes when you walked in. It's there now, in your eyes. Even in the way you smile. I know you, honey. I can tell.
Well, wouldn't it be foolish pretending it's going to be easy proving you were innocent?
I suppose. Even if you believe I'm innocent. Do you?
Rocky, I love you.
I know, but that isn't what I asked you. Johnny Mallory was murdered with my gun. But, Kim, I swear to you, I didn't fire the shots.
Sweetheart, that's impossible. Unless you're wrong about nobody else getting his hands on that gun.
Nobody else did. Nobody could have.
You didn't lend it to anyone.
Good Lord, Kim, if I'd have done that, don't you think I'd be spilling it to everybody?
Yes, yes, of course you would. Oh, time's up already.
Give us another minute, Heidi. Look, sweetie, you take care of yourself.
I will.
Everything okay? Got enough dough to get by like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How about food stamps? We're running low.
Oh, no. I got enough.
Yeah, especially with me in here, huh? Well, it's one bright side to all this anyhow. My 3 squares are free on the house. Food's not bad either.
Oh, now I have got something to worry about. You'll be spoiled when you get home. My cooking won't be good enough for you anymore, and
Oh, now, baby.
Oh, Rocky, hold me tight. Yes?
Mrs. Stark?
Yes.
My name is Spratt, Jack Spratt.
I'm afraid I don't...
Maybe the name Fats would mean more to you.
Fats? Oh, yeah, Rocky has mentioned that name.
Yeah, well, everybody calls me Fats, you see. Okay, if I come in. I'm a friend of Rocky's.
Well, of course. Come in.
Oh, thanks. Hey. Smells good. What are you cooking?
Spaghetti and meatballs.
Sure, smells good. Real good.
Well, I was just about to eat. Would you like some?
I sure would. You got enough?
Oh, yeah, plenty. Just sit down and I'll serve it.
Ah, it's fine. Well, now you know who I am, Mrs. Stark.
Well, yes and no. I mean, Rocky has mentioned you.
Well, I operate a place called the Bullseye. It's a practice range where guys, they want to sharpen up their eye or keep it sharp, they practice.
Oh, a shooting range. Yeah.
Hey, thanks. This looks good. That's how I know Rocky, and he knows me, see? He done practicing at the place. Not much in account. He couldn't afford much, but some, and... And him and me, you know, we hit it off like... Hey, you didn't serve yourself yet.
I really don't feel hungry.
You don't feel a dish that smells and tastes like this, and you don't... Hey, wait a minute. Let me have a look in that pot.
Please, just tell me what you
come... You know, you shouldn't have done nothing like that, Mrs. Stark. You got just enough food for yourself, and you give it to me. Now, that's no wonder Rocky, he was always saying you belong on a pedestal. Yeah. Here, you.
No, please.
Go on. I'm not hungry. I just like to eat, is all. See? No, go on. You dig in while I tell you why I'm here.
Okay.
That's it. Now. See, when I heard Rocky was accused of putting the bind on Johnny Mallory, I said to myself, that's a lot of bull. Rocky's no killer, no loan shark type either.
Then you don't believe
him? He took a bath for Manny Ravel. And when he got out, Manny shafted him.
But Johnny Mallory was killed with Rocky's gun.
Well, looks that way, yeah.
But Rocky's convinced the gun has never been out of his hands.
Now, see, that's what I wanted to ask you about. Now, me... I know how Rocky felt about that .38. Could he be wrong, maybe, about nobody else getting his hands on that gun? Like, for instance, did he actually sleep with it strapped to his side?
Yes, he did. Sounds silly.
No, he wasn't taking no chances, night or day. I just wanted to be sure of that before I go down to headquarters.
Police headquarters?
Yeah. I got an idea that could save Rocky. If I'm right, that is.
What idea? What?
Now, look, don't go getting your hopes too high. I could be wrong, too, but... I want to talk it over with a friend of mine in ballistics, a Lieutenant Chambers.
But that's... What is your idea?
Well, it's just this. Somebody could have put the bind on Johnny Mallory with another gun and made it look... Like Rocky's.
But that's impossible. I mean, isn't it true that bullets are as distinctive as fingerprints? That the markings on a bullet after it's been fired prove that it came from one gun and no other gun?
Yes, right.
Well, then how could Mallory have been killed with another gun if the bullets that killed him came from Rocky's? Well, how?
Look, it's better I don't tell you, Mrs. Stark. I don't want to take chances the wrong guy and I know... What I know, or think I do. But I'll tell you this. If my idea is right, if it's a bullseye, Rocky'll be a free man by tonight.
But, Kim, it's crazy.
You seem pretty sure it was right.
How could he be? My gun killed Johnny Mallory. There just can't be any two ways about that.
You didn't kill him, and nobody else but you had the gun.
Yeah, that's true.
But sweetheart, if he's right, if his idea, whatever it is, proves you're innocent.
He shouldn't have come to you getting your hopes up.
Getting yours up, too, if it comes to that.
No, not me.
Rocky?
I had another talk with McMillan.
And?
He said he checked everything out, his staff anyhow. Guys who do his investigating. It's hopeless.
No.
Yep. He wants me to plead guilty.
Guilty?
With a plea for clemency on grounds of, I don't know, temporary insanity, something like that.
Was he out of his mind?
Funny, if there's anybody in this world who isn't out of his mind, it's Gar McMillan. Oh, Frank.
Hello, Rocky. Kim? I brought the afternoon paper.
Thanks.
I just come from seeing McMillan. He told me about the guilty plea. You gonna ride with that?
I don't know yet.
You'd better.
Why?
Kim, I don't want to upset you.
Why, Frank?
If Rocky pleads innocent, the jury just plain won't believe him. Now, no jury in its right mind would.
But, Frank, you don't
understand. We've got to face facts. Rocky's an ex-con.
Listen to me, Frank. There's a man, a friend of Rocky's. They call him Fats. He came to see me earlier today, and...
Frank, will you listen to me, please?
He said he was sure Rocky was innocent, positive of it. And if an idea had worked out that...
Kim...
He could prove another gun was used to kill Mallory.
I told her Fats is talking blue sky.
Fats is dead.
What?
Dead?
He's a front page headline in the afternoon paper. There. See for yourselves.
Well, killing near police headquarters. The owner of a pistol shooting practice range, Fats Jack Spratt, was gunned down in cold blood this afternoon, just a block from police headquarters.
Oh, no.
Decent guy like Fats. Why?
You've got me. But how did you happen to know him?
I practiced at the range he owned when I could afford it. I liked him. He liked me. Well, whatever idea he had, we'll never know what it was now.
That depends.
On what?
On whether he was killed before he got to Lieutenant Chambers or after. Lieutenant Chambers?
Yes, come in, Mrs. Chalk. Come in and have a seat.
Thank you.
You're the wife of Rocky Stark, and you wanted to see me about Jack Spratt... Fats?
Yes.
Fats was a good friend of mine. We've known each other for years. How'd you happen to know him, Mrs. Stark?
Well, he came to see me about my husband 3 hours or so before he was murdered.
Oh? Why did Fats want to see you about your husband?
He said he had an idea of how Johnny Mallory was killed.
Well, I guess we know how Mallory was killed, don't we?
Do we?
Oh, I'm sorry. Of course, you feel...
I certainly do, Lieutenant. My husband is innocent.
Well, he's yet to be proved guilty, that's for sure.
Lieutenant, was Fats killed before he saw you or afterward?
Before he saw me? I don't think I understand.
When he left me, he was on his way here to see you. He had this idea he wanted to talk to you about.
Oh? Well, he never got here. Come to think of it, he must have been on his way here when he was shot down.
He was.
Well, I'll be...
Well, I guess that ends that. Well, thank you for your time, Richard.
Oh, wait. Sit down, Mrs. Stark. Tom, hold all my calls, okay? I think you and I ought to do some talking, Mrs. Stark.
I don't know what about, Lieutenant. Fats never told you.
I was gunned down on his way to see me, which could mean somebody didn't want him to see me. Didn't want me to find out what idea Fats had in mind.
I didn't think of that.
Well, think of it now, Mrs. Stark. What idea did Fats have in mind? Exactly what idea?
Of course, it goes without saying that the idea Fats had in mind stops this side of sanity. How could two bullets be fired from one gun but leave the markings on them of another gun? As any forensic expert will tell you, it's an impossibility. And yet, well, I promise we'll know the answer, and there is an answer, when I return for Act Three.
The following fable is presented to make you want to buy a Buick.
From Mom, I got my practical side.
Christmas? Oh, just get me a nice mop, son.
From Dad, I got my fun-loving side.
Go fly a kite, kid.
So, being practical and fun-loving, naturally, I got a Buick Skylark. Being the only V6-powered American compact, it's very practical. And being a Buick, it's a lot of fun to drive. As Mom says...
A wise decision, son.
Or, as my father would say...
Nice car, kid. Let's go shoot some pool.
Buick. Dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
This is Lloyd Nolan. My son Jay was physically perfect. I guess he was about 2 years old before we realized that anything was wrong. At first, we thought he was deaf. That's what the parents of most autistic children think. At that time, I don't think we knew any parents of an autistic child. It would have been a great blessing to us to have had a National Society for Autistic Children. Support the National Society, Box 8646, Albany, New York, 12208.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. You know, the worldwide trend today is toward a universal system of measurement, the metric system. The names of this new system may sound strange to you at first, but fortunately, there are only a few words that have to be learned for everyday use, and these are the millimeter, centimeter, meter, and kilometer for describing length and distance, the milliliter and liter for capacity or volume, the gram, kilogram, and ton for weight, the kilometer per hour for highway speed, and the degree Celsius or centigrade for temperature. You're already using some of these terms more than you may realize. For example, when you go to the supermarket, you see weights expressed in grams on more and more packaged items. Now, for more information on this whole metric system, write to Metric Information Office, National Bureau of Standards, Washington, D.C. When a certain Johnny Mallory was murdered with two bullets from a .38 automatic, the bullets, dug from the back seat of the car in which Mallory was sitting, were traced to a gun owned by Rocky Stark. The murder bullets match exactly, precisely, a test bullet fired from Rocky's .38 automatic. Yet Rocky claims that although the gun has never left his possession, he did not murder Johnny Mallory. This, as Lieutenant Larry Chambers of Ballistics tells Rocky's devoted wife, Kim,
is an absolute and utter impossibility.
My husband didn't kill Johnny Mallory, Lieutenant. I know he didn't.
Look, you're his wife. You love him. Naturally, you'd feel that way. But assuming, for argument's sake, he didn't kill Mallory, and someone else killed him, and that someone else had to use your husband's .38.
That's impossible. Rocky guided that gun as if his life depended on it. Oh, I wish he hadn't. I wish he could say someone might have stolen it.
Let's get back to Fat Jack Spratt. Tell me again what he told you.
He said he had an idea how somebody could have murdered Mallory with another gun and make it look like Rocky's.
That was exactly what he told you? Our memories play tricks on us sometimes.
He said someone else could have burned, that was the word he used, burned Mallory with another gun and made it look like Rocky's. Now, those were his words exactly.
Nobody could have pumped two bullets into Mallory with another gun and made it look like your husband's. No two guns make the same marks on a bullet. Still and all...
Yes?
Nobody in this town knew more about guns, especially small firearms, handguns, than Fats. And if he had some idea of how it could have been done, then I'd say it could be done. Could be why he was killed. Somebody was scared he'd blow this whole puzzle wide open.
But you can't. I mean, what Pat said doesn't add up for you.
Uh-uh. But let me think about it for a while, and maybe it will.
You don't sound very hopeful.
Hey, Lieutenant.
Let's see the tag on that gun. Yeah, it's Rocky Stark's, all right. Okay, fire me a test bullet.
What for? Here's a test bullet we use when we compare...
That, Pete, but fire me another.
Whatever you say, Luke. Here, just let me fit into the test box here, so... I'll have it dug out of the cotton in a second.
Thanks. Now, let's put it under the comparison microscope with one of the murder bullets.
Okay. Now, you're set up. Go on, have a look.
A match, no doubt about that. Same grooves and scratches. Pit marks in the rim.
Satisfied?
I guess so. Only...
Only what?
I don't know. What about Fats? Why was he gunned down on his way to see me? Well, thanks for your trouble, Pete.
What trouble? I enjoy shooting bullets into that box and finding them again. Gives me a sense of accomplishment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. Send Mrs. Stark right in. Come in, Kim, baby. Come in. Good to see you. Here, sit here, right here. How's about a drink, huh?
No, thanks.
You don't mind if I...
Of course not.
Well, it's a long time no see. More than a month.
You said you wanted to see me about Rocky. You said you could help him.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that.
Let's get to it now. It's the only reason I'm here.
Okay. Rocky goes to trial tomorrow and he hasn't got a prayer. You know it, I know it.
In that case, how can you help him?
Well, I figure he's worried about you, so, how would you like a job here at the club? Hostess, that kind of thing.
A job? Here?
Well, the pay'd be good, a lot better than you do as a waitress.
Is this what you asked me here for? Is this your way of helping Rocky?
Well, take a worry off his mind, wouldn't it? I mean, he'd know you have a good-paying job, that you were secure and safe.
Safe? Around you? I'd be safer in a snake pit.
Now, wait a minute. Don't go.
Take your hands off me.
Come on, baby, will you? Come on.
Let go of me, you... Stop it, you're hurting.
A little pain never did any harm, don't you? What is it? Yeah? What's he want? I got a choice. Okay, send the bum in. I beat it, Bubby. Out this way.
And what's wrong with the front door?
Come on, do as I tell you. Out this way. All times for this guy to talk. Oh, Eric. Come on in, Lieutenant. What was it?
Chambers.
Yeah.
You're Manny Revell.
What do you want, Lieutenant? I'm busy.
So am I. Rocky Stark and you were partners in this nightclub a little more than 2 years ago, is that right?
Hey, what of it?
The two of you were accused of using the place as a front for a loan shark operation, is that right?
You know it is, so why bother asking? You also know that Rocky was operating behind my back. I was innocent and Rocky confessed.
There's talk around that he took a fall for you.
So what else is new?
That you and Johnny Mallory weren't hitting it off too well for quite a while before he took two slugs in the head, and that you've always had a yen for Rocky's wife.
Come on, Lieutenant, spill it. What are you after?
I think you killed Mallory.
I think you need psychiatric help, Lieutenant.
You had three solid motives. One, put Rocky away on ice and he'd never be able to tell what he knows. Two, get rid of Mallory by framing Rocky. And at the same time, three... satisfy that yen of yours for Rocky's wife. It adds up, Revell.
You know, I changed my mind. You don't need a psychiatrist. You need a computer. Mallory was killed with Rocky's gun, and that gun, on his own statement, was never out of his hands. On second thought, forget the computer. Even a computer won't help you add that up.
It's bugging you. You're bugging me.
Pete, all I've asked for is the photographs of those bullets.
For the 100th time, what do you expect to come up with?
Nothing.
Nothing?
It's hopeless. I know it's hopeless. And yet, I saw her this afternoon, Kim Stark. He goes to the gas chamber tonight, midnight. She looked like... She looked awful, Pete.
Yeah, well, it's rough, sure, but...
One thing that bugs me and keeps bugging me is the pit marks on the murder slugs.
Yeah, I told you they were made with black powder. Now, black powder pits the rim deeper than smokeless.
But why would he buy black powder bullets when he could buy smokeless?
I told you that, too. They're cheaper. He was saving money. Black powder, smokeless powder, what's the difference? The marks on the murder slugs match the marks on the test bullet, and that cinches everything.
Seems that way.
Lieutenant, it is that way now. Once and for all, that's the way it is.
Kim.
Rocky.
How are things? Silly question.
No. I'm all right.
8 o'clock.
Yeah.
We always had supper around 8. Have you eaten? You want something?
No, I'm okay.
I'll bring in a tray if you want.
No, thanks.
Something I want to say. Tell you.
Yeah, Rocky.
I don't want you to... I don't want... Listen. You've got your life ahead of you. You're young and you're pretty and... You meet the right guy. You meet the right guy someday, you marry him.
Rocky. There's only one man in my life. And there'll never be any other.
Now you listen.
You listen. There's never been anybody like you. And there never will be. I never loved anyone the way I love you and... And I never will again. We had love together, dreams together.
Busted now. All busted. Kim, you can't live with busted dreams.
You can repair them, maybe. And if you can't, well, if they were worth enough to you, and they were, Rocky, you can live with the pieces.
Oh, Kim. Kim. I love you.
Lieutenant?
Are you all alone? I thought there'd be others here.
No.
May I come in?
I'd rather you didn't.
Well, I thought... Never mind. Just one thing. I'm sorry I couldn't do anything. I tried. Believe me, I tried.
I believe you. And I thank you. You did everything anyway. Oh, come in.
Well, no, not if you prefer.
I'm acting the way Rocky wouldn't want me to act. Doing what he wouldn't want me to do. Cutting myself off, drowning in my own self-pity. Come in. There's coffee. Would you like
it? Oh, sure, thanks. Don't know what I do without coffee. I know I drink too much of it, but...
What is it?
This box of bullets here on the dresser. This box of bullets.
What about it?
They're made with smokeless powder. Rocky used bullets made with smokeless powder.
What of it?
What a fool I've been. What a stupid fool. That's it. That's what Fats wanted to tell me. It explains everything. It's the answer. The simple answer. So simple, I never saw it. The answer to the whole damn riddle.
Well, who are you calling?
The DA. The governor, if I have to stop Rocky's execution.
What?
He's innocent, Kim. Rocky's innocent. By heaven, now I can prove it.
Lieutenant, I don't know how to thank you. What do you say to a guy when he saves your life and at the last minute, too?
You could ask why he wasn't smarter, quicker. It was staring me smack in the face all the time, and I never saw it.
The slugs that supposedly killed Johnny Mallory, that were dug out of the back seat of the murder car, were pitted with black powder.
And the bullets I used were smokeless powder.
Right.
Even so, the bullets that came out of that back seat were fired from my .38 automatic by me.
But at Fat Jack's practice range, honey.
Sure, sure. Ammunition that Fats let us use for practice because it was a lot cheaper than the smokeless stuff.
And no trick at all for Manny Ravel to get hold of a few slugs from the practice range. Bullets fired by your gun and stuffed them into the holes made by the bullets that killed Johnny Mallory. After removing the bullets that did kill him, of course.
It all looked so impossible. Yet there was a simple answer all the time.
The answer you came up with, Lieutenant.
Almost too late, Rocky. Almost too late.
But luckily, not too late. So, once again, friends, I brought you a mystery seemingly impossible of solution. And once again, the answer was as plain to you as it was to Lieutenant Chambers, who saw it only in the nick of time. Did you see it before he did? You did? Well, you're a better detective than he is. Or I am. I didn't. I'll be back shortly.
It was the first time I can remember really going fishing with my dad. I'm sure I'd been with him before, but the first time I really remember it was wading downstream with him in an extra big pair of wading boots as he felt his way very surely along the stream bed, and I shakily held onto the willows, and we found a spot where my dad lifted his finger to his lips and said, "Shh, we don't want to scare the fish away." And then I remember that fish. The biggest fish I'd ever seen in my life. And it was on the end of my line. And my dad, boy, was he proud. I'll never forget that as long as I live.
Give your children everything. Give them your time. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
To save you the trouble of writing and asking, let me tell you that all is well today with Kim and Rocky, and their very close friend, Lieutenant Chambers. Rocky's doing pretty well with Fat's practice range. Mm-hmm. He took it over, not only as a going business, but in memory of his old friend. As for Kim, she's just very happy to, as the song title has it, to have a man around the house. Her man. Our cast included Patricia Elliott, Mason Adams, George Petrie, Earl Hammond, and Ian Martin. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Oh, I beg you! Do not leave my bedside!
Only to bring you the priest. Don't be afraid. Father Dowser, myself, and Godfrey are only a few steps from your bed.
Oh, God, help me! Whom I have no right to ask. Oh, the candle is out. It is too late. He has come for me.
Don't leave her alone in there.
The door. I can't budge it.
We will break it down.
No. No, no, no. God, protect me. No.
She's not in the bed. Hold the lamp higher. She's not in the room.
The window. Could she have jumped or fallen?
They're shut fast. The latch is still thrown. There.
Can you see anything?
The street is empty. The canal is smooth as glass. She's gone. Rose is gone. As if she'd never returned.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by the Florida Orange Growers and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time... pleasant dreams.
Hello,
frightened, beautiful music. This is KIXI, Seattle.
CBS News. Some relief, but not enough, has come to the Midwest, stricken by the drought which has affected the corn crop. I'm Ann Crosman, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Parts of the Midwest on Saturday received much-needed rain for this summer's corn crop, but other areas were not so lucky. We have a report from Bruce Hogovic of CBS radio affiliate WCCO in Minneapolis.
Several areas of Minnesota, Iowa, and the Dakotas were skipped over. In northern and central Minnesota, there wasn't enough rain to help the crops or ease the fire danger in forest land. The head of the National Corn Growers Association, Walt Geppinger, says Iowa will still lose 10% of the corn. This is a critical time for small grains and corn, and without at least an inch of rain, many areas will get worse. In Minnesota, July rainfall was no more than during the dust storms of the 30s. Minneapolis had only slightly more than half an inch of rain the entire month. Now, relief has come to some areas, but others are still waiting. Bruce Hogovic for CBS News, Minneapolis.
What happens to the corn crop may affect future American grain sales to the Soviet Union. Agriculture Secretary Earl Butz says that all grain sales to the Soviets will be halted until August 11th, when a department report on corn figures is due out. Butz will be interviewed Sunday on the CBS News broadcast, Face the Nation. The latest on President Ford's trip in a minute.
When you say Budweiser, when you say Bud, you said a lot of things nobody else can say.
A lot of things, like Beechwood Aging. That's how the Budweiser people brew their beer. Nobody else does it that special way, but then nobody else is brewing the king of beers.
When you say Budweiser,
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
His full first name is Aristotle. He has a degree in psychology and used to interview many famous public figures. I'm talking about actor Telly Savalas.
I did interview Eisenhower and Churchill and Vyshinsky.
What was Eisenhower like to interview?
Deliberate, cautious. He wasn't as spontaneous as many were. He'd think about what he'd say.
This is Lee Jordan. I'll be talking with Telly Savalas tomorrow on Entertainment East, here on the CBS Radio Network.
President Ford is about to get up at his guest house in Bucharest, Romania. The president is scheduled to attend a Greek Orthodox church service this morning in the town of Sinaia and then meet for a second time with Romania's leader, Ceausescu. Mr. Ford and his party received a warm welcome on Saturday from 250,000 Romanians in the capital city. The president talked about the reception later to American embassy families in the embassy garden. Mr. Ford was speaking through a megaphone.
It's a great privilege and pleasure for me to come to Romania. I've never been here before. I couldn't help but be tremendously impressed by not only the crowds that we've seen on the streets, but at the time we came, but even tonight, they were warm and friendly, and they seem to exude the kind of rapport that's important for us to have between Romania and the United States.
In their talks on Saturday, Ceausescu says that he and Mr. Ford discussed mostly economic matters. Ceausescu saying he's happy that the United States has given Romania most favored nation trade status. The president flies on to Yugoslavia later on Sunday for talks with President Tito. More news after this.
Give your cold the contact.
Summertime is a rotten time to catch a cold. You miss so much. Then remember, 6 or 301 and take contact. To keep medication working in your system up to 12 continuous hours against sneezing, runny nose, and congestion, you'd need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 cold pills, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact capsule. Just 1. For aches and fever, the others contain aspirin. Contact doesn't. 6 or 301. Take contact only as directed. Contact, number one cold medicine in the whole world.
Pacifists from 12 countries have opened a two-day convention in Hiroshima, the scene of the world's first atomic bomb attack 30 years ago. Included are representatives from the United States, Australia, Britain, and Egypt. Representatives of 25 Latin American countries have wound up a five-day conference in Panama, seeking to organize themselves economically. One of the group's goals is to set up export companies that would not be run by U.S.-based companies, as many now are in Latin America. The conference plans to meet again in October. Leaders of West European socialist parties ended a day-long meeting in Stockholm on Saturday, denouncing any move to expel Israel from the United Nations. Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin, who was at the meeting, said afterwards that the campaign by some Arab states to oust Israel could negate all efforts to find a peaceful solution in the Mideast. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
This is another one of those exciting public service announcements concerning a 20th high school reunion. Ah, yes, remember the 1950s.
Pretend you're happy when you're blue.
Well, if you didn't graduate with the Roosevelt High School class of 1955, or if you did but could care less about attending your 20th reunion, pay no attention to this. Roosevelt High School class of 55 has a 20-year reunion planned for Saturday evening, August 16th. Will be held at a very nice place on Lake Union. If you haven't already been contacted and would like to have more details or know the whereabouts of those distant, wandering Roosevelt class members of 1955, please call Camille Clark Hedges. You remember Camille, don't you? The number is 885-0656. That's Camille Clark Hedges, 885-0656. Roosevelt High, class of 55, 20-year reunion. Remember?
You pretend.